Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to be talking today about buying smart and buying well, buying smart at farmers markets. And sometimes it can be hard. You know, you go to a farmers market, the one in Madison, for example, which is the one that I have the most experience with. It's enormous. Everything looks so fresh and everything looks so delicious. And probably most of it really is. Sometimes we have to make some selections, and we'll talk about how to make the best selections at farmers markets and get some insider advice, I guess we could call it, from a couple of women who farm. Plus, we're going to talk about how you can celebrate Wisconsin's official Women in Sustainable and Organic Agriculture Week, which is actually coming up. This weekend, there's lots of events associated.
Oh, it's right now.
It's right now. But big events coming up. That voice you heard was Lisa Keverest. Lisa runs In Serendipity and B&B just outside Monroe. Her place, and with her partner John and son, completely powered by the wind and the sun. Jen Reamer also with us today with a big smile on her face. And she and her family run Reamer Family Farm. Just outside of Broadhead, it's a multi-generational farm, and they're organically raising cattle, pigs, pastured chickens.
Yep, and turkeys.
Thanks.
Yep.
That's a menagerie.
Yes, it is.
You've got to.
Correct you. We're not certified organic, but we do our best to raise everything as naturally as possible.
Okay, so naturally, but close.
Yeah.
Close. And we can talk about what the difference is between naturally and organic at some point along the way. As you listen to these two characters talk, and they're really nice people, I hope you'll join in with your own questions about farmers markets or selecting. How about selecting meats? Jen works a lot, obviously, with meat because they raise a lot of beef on their farm and they sell that locally. Join in. Questions, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you have questions about picking out meat or preparing it. Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. The title of that, The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And, you know, you guys, both of you are very successful, I think. How did you get started in farming, Lisa? Tell that story. You've told me that story a long time ago, and it's been so long.
Oh, it's been a while. You know, it's been almost 20 years now when my husband John and I were working what my mom still called normal jobs, i.e., in cubicles at corporations that we received paychecks from. And we were coming up to Wisconsin, escaping the city of Chicago every weekend, camping, biking, typical stuff. And one day said, you know, hey, why don't we stay? And we were really lured by, just fell in love with the Wisconsin countryside. And even though neither of us had any direct farming roots, not even grandma's farm that we went back to, we really felt a kinship with the Wisconsin soil and said, let's give a go of it. And for a while we said, well, we can always go back, but the years and then decades go by. So, yeah, so we do diversified vegetables on our place. And as you said, we run the farm on wind and sun. But what's really founded our success and longevity now, I'll say, is the community in Wisconsin. We have such a wonderful, supportive, collaborative community of farming that people like ourselves and even, you know, Jen, when she was new to this, embraces you, and there's so many great resources. It's a ripe time to get started still here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you're in such a beautiful part of the state, too.
We love it, right? Right. Yeah, we are literally on County P, the first road over the border from Illinois. So we can see Illinois, but we are proud cheeseheads. And literally, right when you get to our road, it starts, the Driftless starts, and it starts getting hilly. So fell in love right when we crossed the border.
It's a wonderful spot. And Jen, what about you?
Well, we were living in the Chicago suburbs. My husband was working at a high school, and I was raising our kids. And He grew up on our farm. The farm has been in our family since 1927. And we would go back on weekends and also, you know, loved just being out in the country. And we were getting some beef for ourselves and asked some friends if they wanted to split it with us. And there were two or three other families that got some meat and loved it and started talking to other people about it who talked to other people about it. And suddenly we were selling sides and quarters of beef to the whole school and realized, oh, people really like this and want good meat. And so we kind of made a business out of it before we even lived on the farm. Bryce's dad was doing all the work and we were just selling it. And realized that we could do the direct sales, which is different than how my husband's father had been doing it. He'd been selling it to the livestock auction, and realized that we could make a little bit more margin that way and mm-hmm. really make a living on a smaller farm.
Well, why is it important to buy meat locally? Why should we buy?
Well, I really believe it's important, especially with meat, to know your farmer. When meat is in the just general grocery store, you really don't know what kind of animal it came off of, how that animal was treated, what that animal ate, what kind of if that animal had antibiotics and hormones or any of that sort of stuff. And so, you know, to speak to the fact we're not certified organic, but we do almost all of our sales face to face with our customers and say, you know what, come and see what we do. And we can talk to them about what we do. They can see our animals, they can touch our animals and mm-hmm. feel good about what they're getting, and see that they don't get any of that added junk. And really, if you are going to buy meat from the grocery store, that organic label is important. But if you can shake the farmer's hand, mm-hmm. That's what's truly important, I think.
And is it a lot more expensive to buy from directly from the farmer?
A little bit, because there's more cost that goes into raising really good meat than really bad mm-hmm. meat, quite honestly. But you definitely pay for what you get. We have customers over and over at the farmer's market we go to that say, this is the best steak I ever had, or I forgot what really good pork chops tasted like. And, you know, a lot of the older generation kind of hastens back to the days when, you know, their parents used to farm and they had good meat.
Talking today with a couple of women who farm here in Wisconsin, Lisa Kivrist and Jen Reamer. Lisa has run Serendipity Farm and Bed and Breakfast just outside Monroe. Jen and her family run Reamer Family Farm just outside of Broadhead. So we're talking today with them about kind of a variety of things. Women involved in farming and agriculture. We're talking a little bit about organic. We're talking about farmers markets and purchasing at farmers markets. You may have some questions about farmers markets or picking your own meat, or maybe some tips of your own to share. Maybe questions about preparing meat. So we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Go to our Facebook page. The Facebook page is The Larry Mehler Show. So go to that page. You can post questions, comments, and photos as well there. Soil Sisters. What's the Soil Sisters business all about, Lisa?
Yeah, so Soil Sisters, it's a celebration of Wisconsin farms and rural life, is an event going on at Jen's farm, my farm, and over 12 women-owned farms in the Greene County area. It's about an hour south of Madison. We started this tour about 4 years ago, where we as women farmers really wanted to connect our farms with the public, and particularly, honestly, with kids, and to get people out on the farm. Just like Jen was saying, when you see where your food was raised, there's a connection there that extends way beyond the dinner table. So that started it. And this year we're real excited because we've been able to expand to a whole weekend of events. On Saturday this week, August 1st, there's workshops. You can do all kinds of different things on farm, from learning how to felt to how to make your own buns to getting started with chickens. And then there's different culinary events. And Sunday is the tour of farms. That's where you can come on down anytime between 11 and 6, stop by Jen's farm, stop by ours, and six of our other friends in the Monroe and Broadhead area, and see what this whole, I call it a new generation of farms. It's not really new in the sense of, I bet a lot of folks when they come and see our farms will be like, hey, you know, I remember my grandma farming like this or growing vegetables like this. It's adding a new twist to our agricultural roots here in Wisconsin.
And do you have, is there a place where people can go online and take a look?
You bet. Yep. Our main website, or you could just Google Soil Sisters Wisconsin, but it's soilsisterswi.org.
And I'm sure we have a link on our Facebook page as well, at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. So you can go there as well. And boy, that sounds like fun. So a lot of sort of learning events going
learning
on.
And eating, because we're all
and
about
eating.
The food. So there's an element of Soil Sisters called Dine Fine, where area restaurants in Greene County are showcasing Soil Sisters produce and meat. You got to come down to Turner Hall in Monroe at the Turner Hall Ratskeller. They're going to be serving up this weekend Jen's ribeye steak. You're going to get hungry, Larry. It's almost lunch. Ribeye steak with balsamic butter, and then some of our oven-roasted red and gold potatoes, and they're going to have local food on the salad bar. So stuff like that's happening all over the county, but I don't know. I got my eye on that ribeye steak at Turner Hall. That sounds good.
Well, it does to me as well, and we've got a comment from Tony in Athens, so let's go there. Tony, hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Dan and Lisa, thanks so much for your work. You made a comment about the expense of buying local meat, and I just was listening to Glenn Moberg up here near Wausau on Route 51. He had a show about the controversy of a local CAFO going in, and that's one of the reasons I think it might be a little bit more expensive, because industrialized commodified beef, all those costs are externalized onto the public in terms of water quality and decline in housing values and the loss of family farms, and that's why we just pay a slight bit more. You're receiving not only better quality product, but a better way of life and a better environment all the way around. So that's why I think what these women are doing is so important. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And comment, Jim, start with you.
Yeah. Very timely question, Tony. I absolutely agree. It's so important for folks to buy from local farmers. CAFOs are becoming more and more prominent in Wisconsin because the laws are actually quite favorable for CAFOs to come in. So there really is kind of a bullseye on Wisconsin for folks to just move on in and set up operation. And you're right, they are absolutely not good for the local community, the local economy, the waters, the air quality, all of the above. And honestly, I would contend that you really don't have to spend more on meat at the farmer's market. There are some cuts that because there's not the middleman of the grocery store and all those other channels, that you can get a pretty decent price on certain cuts especially.
Very good. Thanks very much for calling. Lisa, did you want to add?
Exactly. I mean, meat is an interesting one because, well, two things. I think we as Americans need to look at meat more selectively and as a treat, frankly. Do you know, we tend to be very meat heavy in our diet, and to look at other cultures like traditional Mexican cuisine where meat is used as a condiment and it enhances a meal versus dominates the meal, really changes the price structure on that. And also too, to just learn about meat as a former vegetarian, I must say, I've learned so much from Jen in that it's not just a steak. You know, there are so many different cuts of meat. There's so many different ways to prepare it. If you think ahead a little bit and you plan your meals, and you can really stretch out a meat budget very well by learning more about it. And that's why I'm excited to have this topic here today, because we're all on a learning curve with this. I think we've lost a lot of our meat knowledge over the last couple of decades with just things shrink wrapped in the grocery store and we just heat it up. But now we're talking about the animals again and how we can use all those different parts well.
We have Heather from Forest Junction up next. Hi, Heather. Thanks a lot for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I am actually in the process of planning on buying some meat at our local fair. We're going to purchase an animal, probably pig, maybe one of the smaller cows that they offer there. But while we have experience butchering animals, I don't have experience picking live animal for the same purpose. What kinds of things do I need to know or should I look for at the fair for a live animal to bring home and then put on our table eventually? And I can take my answers off the air.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. That's a big order.
That is a big order. This is not exactly my area of expertise. I have learned quite a bit on how to tell if a steer or heifer is ready to go in, a cattle. You can tell by their brisket, their chest, if that's nice and wide and filled in, they're finished. That means they've got a nice layer of fat. And also at their tail head, you should see a little kind of a ring of fat sort of around their tail head. As far as pork goes, my father-in-law is amazing at just looking at them and saying, yep, they're ready. They get those jowls, they're big porky jowls that hang down, and they just look nice and big and round. You don't want them to get too fat, but they do get pretty fat before they go in, and that's when they're ready.
And then you look at those hind legs and the firmness and fullness of the hams.
Yep.
Is also another trick, I think.
Yeah.
One of the from your point of view, one of the good things from our caller's point of view is that she's going to be purchasing this from her county fair.
That's great.
And that likely means that that county fair, all of the animals shown at that county fair are probably within 15 miles, 20 mm-hmm. miles maybe, or maybe 40 miles of that county fair. So it's local.
Yeah.
Locally produced, and since they're showing those animals,
they're probably
pretty quality animals to begin with.
Yeah.
Having done a little judging, it's often hard for the judges even to pick, you know, which mm-hmm. is the best, which are the best ones. So I think you're probably, since you're purchasing there, you're probably going to be in a pretty good way.
And I would even say even those second and third place animals are going to be quality.
Oh, yes. No doubt about it.
Save a little money, too.
Talking today about buying local meat. I'm talking about marketing, talking about farmers markets, and a great event that's going on right now and will continue to go on right through the weekend, Soil Sisters event with our two guests, Lisa Kivrist and Jen Reamer. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, though, talking about choosing meats at the market. We're talking about women in agriculture. We're talking about the Soil Sisters events going on this weekend. Lots to deal with here, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. So give us a call, post a question or comment, or send us an email. Love to hear from you. Janelle wonders, we had an email question from her, is it cost-effective to actually purchase a cow and raise it, probably a calf, she means, purchase a calf and raise it yourself for meat? And there are so many things to sort of take into account here, Jen, because you need some land. And
yeah, you need some land. You need some time for the project. You know, if you're kind of looking for a project, one animal is fine. There really is something to be said about a little bit of economy of scale as well. If you're raising one steer, it wouldn't be too much more difficult to raise five, you know, because mm-hmm. you got to buy the feed, you got to take the time to go and do the feed and water. And of course, if you can buy the feed a little bit more in bulk, it's going to be a little cheaper. So yeah, I mean, it would be a good project. You would save some money. I'm not sure it would save a ton of money in the long run.
There's a lot of time involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up on a farm. There's a lot of work involved with with raising. I mean, you're not milking that beef cow every day. We had 80 head of dairy cows that we had to milk every day, but
no,
a couple
but
times.
No, but you still got to feed and water it.
And that's right.
I wonder if you're raising one beef cow for, 18 months, you're going to become awfully attached.
Yeah, it's tough. Even with pigs, I remember Michael Perry telling me that he had to tell his daughter, he said, no naming.
Right.
We're not going to name. And so he had the one daughter actually did name, but she named the one pig Ham and the other one Bacon.
Yes, yeah. Some of our animals have such names also, yeah.
So I'm not sure about the cost effectiveness of that.
if a person really wants to have a little bit of a farm project and have a homestead and totally be self-sustaining, that's great. It will be a little bit more cost effective, but it will also take a lot of time.
Now, how do you sell your beef and your stock?
We sell it all direct. We have lived on the farm now for 5 years and started out kind of selling the sides and quarters. But now we've gotten into a great farmer's market in Woodstock, Illinois. And we kind of sell it.
Kind of right across the border.
We sell it by the piece primarily, but we also do a meat CSA where folks can come once a month and pick up their share. We do a small and a large share there so people can kind of get their month's worth of beef, pork, and chicken through the CSA. We also do bulk samplers. So instead of selling a quarter anymore, we do like a 30-pound beef sampler, which is sort of a quarter of a quarter. So people can stock up for a few months and then come back and get another one.
Come back and get another one. Yeah. Okay. And then you mentioned turkeys, too. And I suppose, is that a seasonal thing then? Or
yes.
Thanksgiving
yes.
time? Or?
Yep. We have turkeys in the brooder right now. And, they'll be ready for Thanksgiving. So, yeah.
And, Lisa, you have, I mean, people are coming to your place all the time because you have a B&B. So, there, maybe in a way, there's a little built in there, but...
Yeah, no, we grow primarily for our bed and breakfast guests on the vegetable side.
Yeah.
And support local farmers like Jen and all the area cheesemakers. And that goes to that question we were talking about of time and value. And that's where it's great here in Wisconsin. We have so many options. If you want to be completely self-sufficient and do it all on your own, there's a lot of resources and organizations to tap into. I work with MOSES, the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Service. That's really the hub for organic farming here. There's a lot to learn and a lot to people to learn from. But that said, we also live in one of the states with the highest number of farmers markets. So if you want to support food growers, food artisans, there's options there too. And that's something to think about with the farmers markets this time of year is if you don't have time to garden, you're not a gardener, you want to expand your garden, think of the farmers market as your garden right now. And think of it just as if it was your home garden in that you want to stock up on stuff. Because right now is when everything is fresh. It's probably at its lowest price point too because it's in abundance. And to freeze, to can, to dehydrate, whatever it is, your food preservation method, you have a lot of options right now to stock up for those leaner seasons here in Wisconsin.
You know, I used to have a large garden, was 60 by 15, okay, and I had a lot of tomatoes, plants, and I would can about 50 quarts of a kind of a V8-like tomato juice, and here I am, two or three or maybe five, a night, and, jars a night of it, and then the next night, five more jars maybe, or three jars. And then I got to thinking, why am I doing this when I can go to the farmer's market and buy a couple of bushels, all of these wonderful tomatoes, and then just sit there and do it all, take a Saturday and just do it all once.
Sure. That's the beauty of it. That's have those options. Or if you want to buy the tomato sauces and juices, you can do that too. So that's what's great about, especially here right now, is we can do that. Indeed.
Absolutely. Well, we have, and you, I imagine, like with many CSAs, you supply sometimes recipes or education about your product. You both brought something that's really good.
Yes, actually, the meat candy was a recipe in my newsletter that goes out to all our CSA folks. So, yeah, they get good recipes.
So you brought me some meat candy. She calls it meat candy, and it's, oh, my goodness, is it good. So you've got sausage.
Yep.
Italian sausage.
It's just regular breakfast sausage.
Breakfast sausage.
Stuffed into a date, wrapped in bacon, and then you just throw it in the oven.
Oh, man, it's good. It is very good. And Lisa, what you brought?
We have one of our bed and breakfast favorites of winter squash spice muffins. And these have pumpkin in them. And what I do always towards the end of the, more into October, November, is I'll go through our winter squashes and pumpkins, cook them down, steam them, puree them, and just freeze them in plastic quart bags, just a cup in each one, and make these now till the next season comes along. So it's really knowing how you as a family eat, what you need to have in your pantry, in your freezer, on your shelves, and to think about that now so you're stocked up for those winter months.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're going to post the on our Facebook page that meat candy recipe is going up for sure. So if you want that recipe, hang around, go to our Facebook page, and probably in the next day we'll have that up. Craig in Wausau, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. Hey, I had just a comment for the lady who asked about buying animals from the fair.
Yeah.
There are a couple of reasons why that's not a good idea. One is that it's just going to be a lot more expensive than if you just buy it from a farmer, because, you know, it's the market show, and yeah, the prices are just a lot higher. The other thing is the way they're fed. I notice, especially with pigs, you know, their goal is not for the high quality eating pig. The judges are looking for the highly defined muscle in a pig. And if you want bacon, that's the worst pig there is to buy, because there's no bacon on it. They try to have them as lean as possible. And just, you know, the way they have to feed them, because they have to weigh them in, I think, two or three times over the course of the raising time. And they have to gain so many pounds a day. And, you know, what they feed them to get there is not, you know, it's for putting weight on, not for a high-quality food.
All right, comment on that, Jen?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. To his first point about it costing more, that is true. But at the same time, you're supporting the kid who brought it to the fair. So there's some value in that for some people. But yeah, I do agree. And actually, my husband and I have had the conversation that the way that we raise our animals without the antibiotics and hormones and all that sort of stuff is going to result in less desirable fair animals. So,
yeah,
you know, they don't put on the massive amount of weight very, very quickly, which actually is what they look for at the fair. So, yeah, your caller makes a very good point.
You know, I know somebody asked me the other day, I mentioned I was going to have this show, and somebody said, you know, you hear all this grain-fed, grass-fed beef and so forth. What is that all? You know, what's the difference? What does it all mean? And I'd get your opinion on this, Jen.
And the consumer needs to kind of decide what are the very important things to them in buying meat. And with beef particularly, there's 100% grass finished or there's grain finished. We do grain finish ours. What we find in talking with our customers is that it's important to them that it's non-GMO grain. We have non-GMO grains. We grow most of the grains on our farm. We do organic minerals and some kelp and probiotics and some really good quality feed that my husband actually mixes and feeds. And it gives it that really great marbling and the beefy flavor.
Yeah.
Versus a 100% grass finished animal is going to have a bit of a different taste,
yep,
which some people really, really love. You have to cook it a little differently. There have been studies that show that the grass finished meat has a higher omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. You just have to decide. You have to taste. I would recommend for people not to buy like a huge bulk of grass finished beef if they haven't tried it before. So try it, figure out what you really like and what is really a priority as far as health, and the grass finished meat will cost a little bit more as well.
Mm-hmm. Talking today with Lisa Kiverest of Serendipity Farm in Serendipity Farm and B&B, and Jen Reamer, her family run Reamer Family Farm outside Broadhead. Great to have them on as we talk about their farms and about Soil Sisters events that are up this week, and especially this weekend, and a whole lot more. The email questions can be directed to talk@wpr.org, so go to talk@wpr.org. Phone us at 1-800-642-1234 and email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. That's what I meant to say, The Larry Mueller Show. Question from Bob in Woodruff. This is for Jen. Do you age your meat, and if so, how long?
Yeah, at the butchers, they age generally 12 to 14 days. That's kind of the sweet spot that they really like to use, and we've had really, really great results.
You had good luck with that.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. And an email question from Barry. We've recently had the opportunity to purchase my grandparents' farm. We'd like to expand our small-scale farming efforts beyond personal use. Where would you direct a new woman farmer to find guidance and support in this endeavor, and I can't imagine, Lisa, you would have any information about this at
all. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to get that message, and we get those often. Actually, the number of women farmers, primary
growing.
Operators in Wisconsin has doubled in the last 10 years and continues to grow, and it's being driven even nationally by women like her in that we're starting small-scale, locally focused, sustainably operated operations. My hat I wear outside of the farm that I love is I work with MOSES, the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Service, and direct their Women Farmer Training Program. So I'm proud to say here in Wisconsin, we service the whole Midwest, but we're one of the only grassroots nonprofits that has a year-long training program for women farmers. So, check out MOSESorganic.org. You'll see the Rural Women's Project. We have a training this Friday as part of the Soil Sisters. It's at Katie Dixon's Farm Christensen, right down the road from me in Browntown, and we do these In Her Boots workshops where we bring women together, often primarily beginning women farmers, and we find that in the women farming community, as the Soil Sisters event evidenced, we work very well in a networking fashion. We like to go to each other for information. It's very collaborative based, and we really try to celebrate that in our MOSES training by creating forums on farms where women can meet and network and learn from each other. There's a lot of goats exchange. There's a lot of information exchange. But being a woman in Wisconsin right now to start a farm, you're at a prime opportunity given the movement and given its growth.
Yeah, it's successful. Many, many successful farms. Women are doing a wonderful job on their farming.
Indeed, I think it brings up that innovation factor in that the movement's growing. It's great to see the consumer interest growing, and we need to keep that going. And that gives a lot of opportunity, particularly for beginning farmers, to really look at where niches are and what are some things that are perhaps underserved, even in the meats category. I'm sure Jen could say there's people come to her at the market and ask for things that they don't do, but that there's a need for, and to really do your research before jumping into something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And I wanted to bring up, because I had John come on and Ivanko, your partner, come on and talk about your book, Homemade for Sale, How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen. And if somebody like that who was just asking, you know, they're all right there. Maybe it's a little early in the game, but I don't think so. I think it's worth it to take a look at a book like this and really do some thinking about what you might do with your property.
Oh, you bet. Thank you. Yeah, the Homemade for Sale book goes into, as a national resource, what's called cottage food laws. And these are laws that have really come into play in the last couple of years. Over 42 states, including Wisconsin, have one. They vary a lot, but they basically allow one, both a farmer or anybody, to start a specific non-hazardous small-scale food business in their home kitchen for direct sale, i.e. typically at a farmer's market. And what this allows anybody to do, you have an abundance of tomatoes here in Wisconsin, you can start your own salsa business tonight and start canning, bringing that to your local markets. In Wisconsin, we call it affectionately the pickle bill, but it covers high-acid foods, so salsas, jams, jellies, pickles. So that's a great portal to test the waters and see, do you like this? Do you like the farmer's market scene? Is the growing side working for you? So that's the key, to have some training wheels before you jump full in. But that's what Homemade for Sale is intended to be, a resource to help folks with the startup and the marketing, the packaging, and all of that.
But I can't emphasize enough, I mean, for somebody like this who is really thinking about, you know, expanding our operation, I would think the Soil Sisters event would be pretty much ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just the value of getting on other people's farms. I mean, I know all the women on Soil Sisters, but still when we do our potlucks, I always learn something new because somebody's always trying something new or a better idea about how to feed a pig or, you know, where to buy your feed or goats or whatever it is, you know.
And so if you're thinking of getting into it or maybe expanding or changing, what an opportunity to come and visit a half a dozen farms and see what's going on, plus the educational programs that are being held, plus even more the good food.
You bet. Come and eat local. We're going to have a rush on those ribeye steaks at Turner Hall there, but that's good. That's good. The more demand, the more folks are asking. The more folks are asking questions to farmers like Jen at the market, the more things do start to change. And it's interesting. The tour is a good example of how really transparent and authentic the farming community here in Wisconsin, particularly in that organic and sustainable community, where, where else could you go to a tour on somebody's farm and really ask them intimate questions about their business. We love that. You know, it's not seen as competition. It's really, the more we raise the water for all of us, the more the movement grows. And there's so much learning that each of us have had and things we would do differently that, particularly for younger farmers starting out, we love it. For example, at our Women Farmer in Her Boots workshops, where we get a number of young women right out of UW and they want to be farmers. And that's awesome. And how can we support their success? And we'll all make our mistakes along the way, but there's some good track records to build off of.
Well, and I remember you telling me in years past that you got a lot of help over, you know, when you were first getting started, you had a lot of advice and help from local people, and it made a big difference.
Completely, completely. I remember that first time we went to the Moses Organic Farming Conference, and we felt like little kids at the big playground, but we were embraced, literally, and that's how it is around here, and that's why we sometimes, you know, we're modest folks here in Wisconsin, I think, and that's one of our better qualities, but you go outside of Wisconsin, the rest of the country is looking here for the ideas and the leadership in the organic community. We're leading in organic livestock and dairy, and second in produce. We can give California that slightly longer growing season, but we're really doing some neat stuff here.
Ann in Marshfield has a question for you. Ann, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I must say that I just love my grass-fed or my locally grown meat, and I buy it as often as I can. But I was reading an article in National Geographic about how we're going to feed the millions of people on the earth in the next couple of decades. And the comment was, well, I'm sure it had a lot of research behind it, that grass-fed beef makes a bigger environmental impact than feedlot-fed beef. And I just wanted you guys to give me some input on that.
Okay. I'm not sure where...
It's an interesting question. Yeah, there's always studies coming out, and they always raise awareness in good ways. I think, personally, too many times we look for a black, white, right, wrong answer, particularly when it comes to food. I'm waiting for that, you know, everything coated with sugar is better for you study to come out, because we're all waiting for that one. But so to that woman's point, it's really good to be aware and to keep up on these researches. But it has to do with usage, I think, too, of like how much we use something, where we're buying it from. There's other factors involved. Yeah. To Jen's point about supporting family farms and knowing where things come from is a big factor that often falls off of the research radar on those larger studies. It's not just cost. It's not just environmental impact. It's community health. Yeah. And that's a priority we all have and need to reflect.
And in some areas of the, I mean, I'm just thinking about grass-fed, in some areas of the state, particularly in your area, there are areas there where cropping, you know, grass is probably the best way to feed your animals because of the not ability of, to be able to crop particularly areas of land, so hilly areas and such. So, well, there's lots to go. You know, I want people to be able to go to the Soil Sisters site so they can see, you know, what's going on. And especially this weekend, there's stuff going on right now, but the weekend is really going to be big.
Yeah, the weather's looking great. Come on down. So if you go on that soilsisterswi.org site, you'll see on Saturday, we still have space at various workshops. They're on farm going on in the morning on Saturday, in the afternoon. There's several that are designed for families. So one price, bring your family. You can go to Bountiful Hope and Melissa Birch's operation, for example, in Monroe, and go on a hayride and meet the goats and do a variety of on-farm experiences. And then head over to New Glarus at Cow and Quince and eat some local food, and we have something called Taste of Place, Meet the Makers, and then come back on Sunday for the tour of farms and see a variety of spots. Come visit Jen and I. Say you heard us on the radio. Make us feel good. And really see your food sources up close and personal and the women growing it.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a great pleasure to have you both with us today, and I thank you so much, and I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful weekend. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you. Thank you, Larry.
Lisa Keveris runs In Serendipity Farm and Bed and Breakfast outside Monroe. Go to In Serendipity Farm. If you type that in on your search engine, their site's going to pop right up. Lisa and her husband, John Ivanko's latest book is, well, and we were just talking about it, Homemade for Sale, How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Kitchen. Jen Reamer and her family run Reamer Family Farms outside of Broadhead, multi-generational family. They have cattle, pigs, chicken, pastured chicken, and Thanksgiving turkeys too. and they're going to be available to answer your questions and to say hi to at the Soil Sisters events this weekend. So great to have them with us. We are going to switch gears a little bit and go from the farm to the water, maybe the Mississippi River in particular, and talk with our next guest, Reggie McLeod, who is editor of Big River Magazine. That next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.